Hi there, I'm Katie Rose, and welcome to The Rooted Reinvention, a podcast exploring the real-world journey of reinventing who we are without burning out or burning our whole life down. I teach people how to make lasting change by melding my Master's in Neuroscience and my Cognitive Therapy qualification with common self-help tools, spiritual concepts, and my personal experience. Because being yourself doesn't need to feel so damn hard. To get more information on podcast episodes, please visit rootedreinvention.com/podcast.
One of the things that always comes up at this time of year is the idea of New Year's resolutions, of habits, of making changes in your life. And I think for a lot of us, this is often the time of year that we start to think about the habits that we might want to lose, the habits that we might want to start having, whether that's going to the gym more often, whether that's eating unhealthy food less often. This is the time of year that we think about, I need to make a change to my life and I want to change what I do in some way or other. And I find this really frustrating, especially the way that it's worded, because habits, by their definition, are habitual. They're not quick fixes. They're not things that are easy to shift. They're not things that should be quick. If you're able to change a habit within a couple of weeks, don't think it was a habit. By its very definition, a habit is something that happens almost automatically, not fully, but there is some level of automaticity. There is some level of automatic action or trigger, or there is some kind of automatic role in that particular action. And therefore, there are no quick fixes for habits. If you'd followed me for a while, you know I'm a real bugbear of the whole 21 days to change a habit thing, because it's just not that simple. In terms of habits, the bit that I think is useful for people to know is kind of how we can move forward looking at the habits we want to change, looking at the habits, how we can change our habits in the simplest way possible. Again, it's not easy to change a habit, by its very definition. And the fact that the idea that you can change all habits within a certain number of days, I would claim a myth. But in terms of thinking of how you can change the habits coming up that you'd like to, the first one is to start with the habit of showing up. So I would say that 50% of any habit, whether it is that you're trying to stop do something or whether you're trying to start doing something, is showing up. So a lot of people claim that when they want to start going to the gym, the people who talk very much about habits and understand it know that their definition of it for the first week is to get to drive to the gym itself and then drive home, and that's a win for them. And then the following week it might be to walk through the door for three times a week, and then it might be to go into the changing rooms and change into your gear for a week. Like, they know that that showing up habit is the bit that is almost like the start of any habit, is the most difficult hurdle for any of us. So if you're thinking of what's my New Year's resolution, I would always start with thinking about, well, how can I show up, and start that habit before I put the pressure on myself to then achieve the actual task itself. This next thing to think about is keeping an eye on what habits you're starting, but also what habits you're stopping. So if you are someone who comes home and immediately puts the TV on and you want to actually pause and make a healthy meal or work on a novel or something, so thinking about what you want to stop doing as well as what you want to start doing. And this can be particularly helpful in terms of kind of switching out habits. So if you're trying to switch out a particular thing in your routine, that can be easier than if you said, oh, I need to go to the gym every day, that can feel quite a lot. But if you say, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to drive to the gym on my way home from work, back when those of us who work used to drive rather than sitting in our living rooms, actually tagging it on something you already do is a really good kind of beginning hack, I guess, in terms of you're not starting a new habit from scratch, but actually you're amending a habit you already have. So you already drive home from work 5 days a week, let's say in this example, and therefore driving via the gym route for a week is not completely new. You're not thinking, oh, I've got to go get my stuff, I've got to get, you know, you're already halfway there. And this can be useful for anything. So if it's that you normally come home and turn the TV on, maybe you start by shifting that to go and get a glass of water first before you go to the living room. And you just train yourself that when you come to the door, the first thing you do is you go to the kitchen and grab a glass of water. It doesn't need to be one of these changes your life within a week things. It needs to be something small, manageable, something that's realistic, but that will literally shake up that habit. You know, the idea of a habit is that it does step one, step two, step three, step four, step five without thinking. If it's step two, there's a detour. It pulls you out of that habitual kind of state and gives you a moment to almost think, what am I doing next? And to take back control over, rather than following that just same path you do every day. The other thing that I always think about with habits, and particularly with New Year's resolutions, is choosing what you're going to give your energy to. So I always have 15 probably projects going on in my head that I want to start. Some of them are shiny new objects that really I don't need to start, but they sound really cool, or I think that they're really fun. And whereas some of them are things like, I'm currently editing a novel that I wrote in 2014, and I've gone back to edit it this month, and it's kind of just felt like the right time to come back to it. But thinking about what you're going to give your energy to, like, I tend to pick up to 6 projects for my life, because there is an understanding in psychology that most humans can focus on between 7 things plus or minus 2. So I tend to let myself have 6 sort of major life projects, and that leaves me a couple of slots for whatever's going on that day and emergencies and general day-to-day stuff. So one of my projects is I'm editing this novel. Another project is I have a podcast that I need to record and edit and upload each week. So they're the 2 of my projects, for example. If I was going to think about eating healthier, that would be a project by itself. I would kind of give that a slot. And that means that doesn't mean you're never going to get to them, but there's this intentional ignorance of the projects that you've chosen not to work on right now. So if doing that workout that looks really cool and fun and my friends are doing doesn't fit into kind of the core thing of what I'm focusing right now, then I just sort of park it. I don't do it right now. If I find myself on a web page of something that looks really cool, I used to, you know, and it was something like a new course that I thought looked brilliant and that I needed, but I wasn't quite sure, but I thought that this would be really good for me, I would leave the tab open, and I might leave that tab open for 2-3 months and kind of just sort of come back to it periodically. Actually, that's still taking my energy, and now I don't read or stay on that page if it's not within my core themes right now. I have a dumping list in my Evernote that is just stuff to come back to later on if I think I might need it, and I just have put all the links in there, and then I don't need to worry about, oh, what if I forget it? What if I need this later and I don't know where to get it? I don't want to find it. Then I've got it, but I'm not giving it my energy, my time. I'm not kind of wasting the bits of motivation and willpower and kind of strength, as it were, on something that isn't going to be positively impacting my life in the next week. So it's kind of like you can bookmark the habits that you're not going to focus on right now and give all of your attention to the ones that are actually like, this is the one I need to work on first, whether or not it's pretty and shiny and feels fun. I know that I need to at least vaguely consider, what am I eating before, and, you know, before I go for a workout, before I work up the plan to go to the gym, as it were. That's a really contrived example, but it's an example. So it's that idea of, if you're looking at changing habits, A, it's not going to be quick and easy, and it's not meant to be. Please understand, as much as people say, you know, and I'm not saying that people who give advice around habits are wrong or are lying in their particular scenario, but habits, by their definition, are habitual. They are things that the very structure of our brain has shifted to be as efficient as possible at getting from A to B, and stopping that is like saying to someone, don't use the motorway, and they've been using it every day for 50 years. Like, you could say that all you like, but there are still going to be people who just drive there on autopilot. And it's okay that it's hard, and it's okay that it takes time to shift a habit. And I want to start with that. Because yes, for certain small short-term habits that haven't been too ingrained, I'm sure 21 days is plenty. But if you're trying to quit smoking, if you're trying to get over something, stop playing a game that you've played for 10 years every single day as your stress relief, you're gonna find it takes longer than 21 days. It's okay to take time and to slip up here and there, because again, it's a habitual thing, and it's okay to not find this easy. And then I guess the second kind of half of this episode is thinking about choosing carefully which projects you're going to work on. And you might want to choose, like, for the next 3 months, I'm going to work on this. So I've said to myself that I'm working on this novel, I'm editing it until January. And then I will reassess kind of how I feel about it, whether there's another novel that's sort of poking its head up, whether I want to put fiction down for a few months. And I've just kind of picked it for November, December of this year. And I will then sort of review it for January. And one of my goals for January is going to be work on some fiction, because I've missed doing that this year. Although, to be honest, there's a lot of things that I've missed doing this year. But I'm not going to make myself start it January 1st, when it might be that in July the perfect opportunity comes up and then the right novel sort of resurfaces in my brain. And, you know, I think, oh, this is actually the one I want to work on, and this one's closest to, you know, getting to publication, so I'm going to work on it for this long. So if it is that you've got 50 different goals for next year, pick six. And then tell yourself that you'll review it 2 or 3 months in. And you can always switch them out. If you find that they're not working for you, if you find they're wrong, if you find after a month that the one isn't working for you, you can switch it out for another. I will also link in the show notes an article that talks about the reason for my six projects and some links to the psychology for it. So if you're interested in that, do check out the show notes. I could ramble on for hours about habits. As I've said, it's a little bit of a bugbear of mine, the way that they are talked about. But I'm going to leave it there for today. I think that's enough for now. So step one, it's okay to find it hard. Step two, limit the habitual changes and resolutions and things that you'd like to be different to a small number, and then review it and just park the others. It's not that you're never going to get to them. You've probably got different resolutions this year than you had 10 years ago. And that's the point. Hopefully your resolution, at least some of them, have shifted a little bit as you've learned about yourself, learned what you really want, found what works for you. And that's okay. It's okay to recalibrate. If you know someone who is struggling with coming up with some resolutions for the new year, or tries to change all their habits all at once, like I used to, please send them this episode in case it's helpful. If you haven't, please consider leaving a rating and review. It really helps other people to find this podcast. And if you would like to get my newsletter every 2 weeks, where I share some of this sort of psychology side of it, as well as my own personal journey through sort of using these techniques, you can also sign up in the show notes or go to bit.ly/rootedreinventionkit, all one word. I hope you're all well. We are so close to the end of the year. I hope you're all safe. And as always, thank you so much for listening and have a lovely week. Bye.
Thanks for listening. And as always, you can find out more at rootedreinvention.com. Take care. Remember, you are more capable than you often realise. And I'll see you next time. Bye.